Did you ever lose the initiative? And did you ever worry that you were going to be the one that was shot down? Did you ever get in a dogfight where you had a experienced German who was actually saying, "What the heck?"
Go with it. Go for it.
Well, let me answer it a different way. I was a flight leader, and you're always leading at least a four-ship flight, and you might be leading a squadron, or you're somewhere in that squadron flight. And this is about combat, you know, and you're concerned about combat, and you really wonder. You know, you can train, you feel your training is important. If you have a good training, good background for that. And, let me put it to a different way. You got two guys. Both are trained the same way. And they know each other's equipment, and they know how to shoot, and they know how to fly a formation, and, you know, all that good stuff that makes a fighter pilot. And which one would have an advantage? And I've kind of got it down to the one some of the fighter pilots wrote about it in their book, like a German... it was either Gunther Rall or the other guy.
Eric Hartman.
Gallen. Gallen. He called it a fighting spirit. The guy that had the best fighting spirit. Well, I think I call it motivation. And I would think that the Germans were pretty motivated because they flew over their own hometown, you know, their homes, and we're bombing them and all this. And but on the other hand, we didn't start the war. We got over there and we're trying to finish it, and we were highly motivated. So after you've been in combat a little bit, like 10 hours or 10 flights, you got used to it. And if you hadn't been shot down yet, and if you did get to that point, your chances of finishing combat tour went up. A lot of guys got lost early. Sure, we were scared. We were scared of the unknown. We didn't know. You know, it was flying over enemy territory, just looking down at it, saying, "Gosh, if I go down there, there's angry people down there, farmers with pitchforks," and that was emotional, just to see enemy territory. And then you get in an engagement, and you got through it, and it wasn't so bad. Then you get one, and then you're successful, and that gives you confidence, and you feel a lot better about it. You know, think, "Oh, hey, I can do this. I can handle this." And I actually have made the statement that when you're in actual combat, you know, going around this circle, looking across at him, and he's trying to kill you, and you're trying to kill him, and I was not afraid. But when it was over, my goddamn feet would be shaking on the rudders, and you think, "Holy smokes!" I get to get it down to a level of non-pilots, say you're in the mountains, in the Sierra Nevada, and you're coming down. It's a nice day, but it's been terribly cold, and they still had ice. And you hit some black ice on the road, and you go kind of start to go out of control. You don't throw up your hands and say, "Oh my God, I'm dead," you know. You do what you have to do, and then afterwards you say, "Oh," you might say, that was a little shaky, something like that. I only had one guy in a dogfight, and it would take me 15 minutes to tell this whole story. That was close. It's the one that was in the dogfight series, and where we'd been attacked by four of them, and we turned the tables and shot down three of them. And the last guy, it was he and me, one versus one. And we'd been around, and we'd pulled up, and he'd reversed his turn and chased us. This is the first guy that's ever even back behind me that I know of. And he stalled first, and then we dropped down on him again. My wingman took off, and he followed him. But I'm on his tail now, so he breaks that off. Now it's just he and I. And the same thing happened. He makes this hard turn, and I'm coming so fast, I can't make the turn. So I pull up like this, kind of easily, so I can gain an altitude. And he's lost a lot of energy here, and he loses energy here when he reverses and then pulls up, trying to chase me. But I can look back and close my eyes right now, and I can see that guy, and he's down below me, and he has to get up here to fire a lead, and he can't do it because I'm pulling, and he, you know, it's a moving thing, and he stalls out first, so I'm back on him, and then the next time it comes around, I say that I'm not going to be in front of that guy. I'm going to make this turn and try to turn inside of him. I'm afraid I'd lose a lot of energy, and then he could come around on me, but I make that turn. And he sees it, and he turns this way and pulls straight up. Well, he saw my angle off now, and I'm right behind him now, just like he was. And we kind of demonstrated that he was going to stall first, so I don't think that was a good move on his part. So he's up here, and I just come up here, actually like on this side, and I fire a burst here. And I saw a little one tracer go off the right side, and you had to keep the ball in the middle. You had to keep the aircraft in trim. Say you're going here. If you're skidding up that way, the bullets go out here, not straight up. And so I gave it a little bit of rudder, and then I fired again, and pow! I got him all in the middle, right in the middle of the airplane, the cockpit, the engine, the wing root. And I just coasted right up to him, and he rolled like there was smoke in the cockpit. He rolled over, and we got down like this, just straight, absolutely straight down from, say, about 27,000 feet, and down, went through 20,000 feet faster than I've ever been in my life, and I had to come off of the power, and I followed him down. It was a bright, clear day, and I could see his shadow out here, and his smoke was coming down here about a mile long, and he and his shadow met in this field and blew up, just a tremendous explosion. And that's probably the closest one I ever had.
A real fighter pilot.
Jack. As a follow-up to what I what my comments were, I wanted to really celebrate and think about for a moment about what the country did in that time frame. You know, we went from making refrigerators and appliances and automobiles to making Jeeps and trucks and tanks and airplanes. And if my memory serves me correct, for the period of the war, the 4 years we were at war, the American aviation industry and the mobilized automobile industry that produced airplanes made 260,000-odd airplanes. And for every day of the war, there were 170 airplanes shot down. Every day of the war, they lost 170. And so we were able to build beyond that. Then we lost 220 airmen for every day of the war as well. So it was a time of great mobilization and great sacrifice and greatness for the country.
Ladies and gentlemen, Colonel Bud Anderson, Jack Roush, Jim Hagedorn.